But right, during the day, they're kind of largely up to their own devices.
Sleeping until 2 p.m.
They'll go wherever the food and stuff is free. Right. So whoever's having a junket, wherever that breakfast is, that's where they're going to be.
Mm-hmm. Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Testimony will continue today in New Mexico in actor Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter trial. Baldwin in court for this. He's charged in connection with that shooting death of a crew member, cinematographer Helena Hutchins. He shot and killed her on the Rust movie set with what he thought was a prop gun. Now, prosecutors claim Baldwin was reckless, ignoring industry rules for firearm safety, saying they have evidence that proves the gun could have been fired without the trigger being pulled.
You will see him put his finger on the trigger when his finger's not supposed to be on the trigger.
I misspoke there. Could not have been fired, because Baldwin says, I was holding the gun, I pulled the hammer back, but I never pulled the trigger. And they're going to say, no, we have, you can see where he's doing that. Baldwin denies that, of course. Now, the defense, during the opening statements, Vince, said, hey, look, they have video of him rehearsing the scene.
The gun was double-checked, verified it was a cold gun, not an actor's responsibility to check. Safety was ensured before. Alec was doing his practicing, his rehearsing, his movements.
So they say the responsibility falls on the armorer. Of course, that's Hannah Gutierrez, who's already serving time
now. She's been convicted. Mm-hmm.
And the assistant director, who is, at this point, not facing any charges.
And the open question remains as to whether or not Alec Baldwin will take the stand. Just don't know.
Right.
This could go on for quite some time before the defense has to make that decision.
Yep, so we'll find out there. Apparently, he was very emotional yesterday in court. His family is there as well. Jurors are really going to be going to hear a lot about forensics with this gun. Anything that it has to do with this pistol, that's what they're going to be looking at and talking through.
Sports coming up next. It's sponsored by Holiday Automotive at Highway 23 in Fond du Lac. Holiday Automotive, it's worth the trip.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Oh, how the pendulum has swung. It wasn't that long ago we were talking about the Brewers being boat raced. Well, now the shoe is on the other foot.
That's what they say.
Is that fair? Okay.
Boat race.
Yeah, that's what it was. 9-0. How about that one? It was a good old-fashioned
barrel roll.
Yeah, it was a barrel roll at MFAM Field. Tobias Myers, absolutely masterful. 8 innings starting pitcher, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk, no runs. Pat Murphy says it was a team effort, though, starting with the catcher, William Contreras, who guided the young pitcher through.
Contreras, from the first inning, kept adjusting with him, and then he found his stuff again. Third or fourth inning, he found his stuff, and, you know, we played great defense behind him. We hit in the clutch. We scored a ton of runs with 2 outs.
And a couple of dingers, too.
1-2. Fly ball down the left field line. This is going to be a goner, a home run for Willie. A 3-run shot makes it 9-0. Just did tuck it inside the pole.
What makes that win even more important is that the Brewers, day baseball today against the Pirates, they're going against Paul Skeens today.
All right, Skeensy.
Skeensy, this is that young phenom pitcher who's just ridiculous. He may even start the All-Star game. The kid is just really, really good. It was a neat moment a couple of days ago when they first rolled into town. He wanted to meet Euchre, so there are pictures of Skeens and Mr. Baseball smiling, taking pictures during BP. And Euchre talked about it on the broadcast. It confused us a bit when we heard him talking about it.
He asked about the roof.
Mm-hmm.
If I had seen any of the mechanism, he did want to know. Swinging a bouncer, hit to second. Terang has that, and that is the end of that conversation.
See, is that Lane? That's Lane in there with him?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
and Lane knew something was
there.
Happening.
Here, listen to this. This is the end of the inning here.
Paul Skeens, good chat with you.
All right, well, hold on.
Tied at 2 on the Brewers Radio Network.
Still going.
Presented by American Family Insurance.
What happened? What were they talking about? Something with the roof? Who knows? We may never find out.
No, do you think you could tell you? Last time I saw Uke was at the Lombardi event, the cancer fundraiser.
You catch him maybe on the course, right? There? Yeah, yeah. You would tell him.
Hey, man, what was going on? don't say anything, Vincey.
Paul Skeens.
At 7:22 on a Thursday morning, starting to see the apparatus take shape. We've been wondering for the last couple of weeks, like, is there a major event happening here in downtown Milwaukee?
It wasn't moving very quickly, at least on the outside.
Right. So the no parking zones are now starting to be enforced. More barriers going up downtown.
Crews were hard at work on the ground to secure the convention perimeter with this metal fencing.
7:04's Megan Lee is that fencing. That was up for the scaled back, as it were, DNC in 2020 as well. It's a hard metal fenced perimeter for that hard security zone. So I would say this for those, I've heard people say, like, well, am I going to be somewhere I'm not supposed to be? And people, you can't wander into this area.
Impossible.
Right. It's fenced off. They'll have staffed entrances, a limited number of them, to get into that hard security zone. That, of course, includes the Baird Center, UWM Panther Arena, Fiserv Forum. So
Sorry, Senator. I didn't realize this was yours.
Right. No. Important piece of information that I passed along this morning about travel in Milwaukee. A lot of questions about the Hone Bridge and that 794 spur that connects the Hone with the Marquette. If you've been driving on the freeway lately any time around downtown, you've seen signs that say the Hone is going to close on Sunday. It's caused some people to ask, like, wait, the Hone Bridge is going to?
For the week?
Yes. So what we are understanding in additional clarification from the Department of Transportation is the Hone will be closed basically for a day or two. It's not going to be closed for the whole RNC week. Likely due to that Sunday night event that's on the Summerfest grounds.
Okay.
So the Hone that runs in some spots actually over Meyer Festival Park. So they're going to close the Hone from Bayview into downtown and vice versa. If you wanted to get from downtown over to Bayview, the bridge itself will shut down early Sunday morning. And then they say Sunday into Monday. Don't know at what point, Debbie, right, they're going to open it back up Monday?
Right. They are, just as a reminder, by the way, on the side note, they are also talking about closing off the maritime stuff. So the whole lakefront in front of Summerfest grounds, that's also going to be done, as well as the river heading through downtown. So,
yeah, right.
But yeah, they're talking about things being reopened. I'm trying to find the thing here. Let's see. Definitely closing down on Sunday. I saw that. And why can't I find this stuff now? Usually I have it right off the bat, but here.
Well, that's good. I mean, the big thing to note, what I wanted to say is, because folks have been asking, wait, they're closing the home, not for the whole RNC. You're going to have Sunday morning at 5 a.m. They're going to shut the bridge down, and then it should open up at some point on Monday.
Yeah,
there will be
up.
Additional closures, of course, around downtown.
Right, 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 right. So that's something to keep in mind, though. I'm going to have a little bit more information on that soon about that. But yeah, that's wonderful because, you know, everybody has to have problems getting into town.
Right. And there'll be a lot of folks who are not working downtown that week. My wife works downtown. She's going to be remote next week. I know she's doing that, and others are as well. So one of the questions I always have is, what do the delegates do? Like, what's the point of being there other than to nominate who you want to run for president?
Well,
you
go to breakout parties. Sessions and
so,
stuff?
Yeah, there are parties. TMJ4 it has much more detail on it. Delegates will attend daily breakfasts.
Okay.
You got that. Sausage and eggs and whatnot. They have high-profile speakers talking to each state about the party's platform, which they just now announced. During the day, delegates are free to host their own events, attend programs, and socialize with other states. Before attending
Hello,
the
California.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the main convention events in the evening. That's when you have the high-profile speakers. You would assume that whoever's running for vice president will be announced on one of those days. Usually that happens on Wednesday night when the VP candidate would speak.
Yeah. Hey, oh, by the way, that's less than a week from now. We don't know who
right.
former President Trump yeah. is going to pick as his running mate.
Each night of the convention has a theme. On Thursday of the RNC, former President Trump expected to be officially nominated. That's when he'll give his acceptance speech. Now, that does not mean that you won't see him any of the other evenings as well. It's always possible that a candidate will pop up. That's happened before. Candidates come out and introduced a wife or a spouse or just made an appearance.
Be around, do the wave. Yeah. Hello, hello. Of course, you'll hear from me on Thursday.
Show up at the Summerfest grounds. I don't know. I'm just, you know, speculating, but who knows? Anything could happen. But that that's what's going to happen with the delegates, that they talk platform, they mingle, they network, and then hear from the big wigs in the evening hours.
Yeah, you see them on the evening primetime coverage. They're all decorated up in their Uncle Sam hats and their buttons and their things, and they sit by
every state,
the stanchions that show which state is which, and anytime there's a call out, hey, hey, Delaware, hey, right. But during the day, they're kind of largely up to their own devices.
Sleeping until 2 p.m.
They'll go wherever the food and stuff is free. Right. So whoever's having a junket, wherever that breakfast is, that's where they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
7:27 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Major League Baseball draft is coming up this weekend, and we've got Brewers General Manager Matt Arnold in Brewers 360, and he will tell us exactly who they're going to draft.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
List of names, Matt.
Stuck in Space. Starliner saying it's confident that the spacecraft can get them home safely at some point. There are two sailors and former Navy members who are stuck in space. So they've been there for a month now, more than a month longer than they're expecting to be there. They were supposed to come home weeks ago, but trouble. Everything's got to have a horn attached to it in some way.
According to NASA and according to these astronauts, no, they're not stuck. But the fact that NASA has to say our astronauts are not stuck, generally not a good sign. So
I would agree with that.
True.
Statement.
So expected to be about a week at the International Space Station. It's now a month. It's going to be several months before they can come home. You remember, too, by the way, the Starliner that sent them up there didn't shoot off right away either. Right? There was a couple of times there when they had to stop, start. They had to delay the launch. At one point, they said, hey, we don't have room for your luggage. So they already sent up these former Navy members without all their stuff.
But what do you need luggage for? You're only going to be there a couple of days.
Wear the jumpsuit.
I just go with a carry-on.
Fine. You know, if you're only going to be there for 2 days, you don't even need to shower. I mean, you can do that when you get back. Oh, here we are. Here we are a month. And I don't know who this is worse for. The two members who are stuck up there, these former Navy officials?
No, they're not stuck.
I'm sorry. Who are just hanging out up there?
They still insist this is not a crisis. No one is panicking.
Maybe they're not panicking. But, okay, so is it worse for them or is it worse for the other astronauts who have to sit and host them for all of this time?
How much longer are they going to stay? Right.
I've been
first, there was a couple
room.
Extra days.
Yeah. Right? Can you go in my brother's room from now on? You can go over there and stay in their room for a little bit. Remember that when you had the cousin staying in your house for way too long?
Yes.
And you had to share your bed.
It's always family, too, who has like this undefined end date to the visit.
Yeah,
right?
That's totally what's
come and stay
here
for a few days. What is that?
Is that three?
Is it seven?
All of my stuff. He was wearing my socks the other day. He's eating all the food, all the Cheetos.
But do you think we like it, too? I just need you to buckle down for a few more days.
A few more months? Can you imagine?
Well. I'm still stuck on stuck, what the definition of stuck is. If you're somewhere and you can't get back, that's stuck.
They say they're in good spirits, but they've been up there now several weeks longer than first anticipated. Butch Wilmore, SUNY Williams, you're in our thoughts as we hope you get home someday.
News is sponsored by Annex Wealth Management's Money Talk. That's heard Saturdays at 10 right here on WTMJ. NBC has the astronauts on right now that we were just talking about.
Butch looks like he's in good spirits.
I guess, I mean, he knows he's being talked to, though.
You know how you can tell when someone's, like, been traveling overseas for, like, a week or a week and a half and they come back? Oh, yeah, it's a long trip. Yeah, I'm exhausted. They're stuck in space.
Still.
And they look okay.
No, they're not stuck.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're just not being retrieved
just
yet.
Just can't get back.
Right.
What do you make of the drone show?
Pretty neat. I unfortunately did not see it in person. Did you?
No, I've just looked at the video. The butterflies seem to be the feature piece.
Yeah, lots of cool video of it and lots of
movies. What did you guys say? How many individual drones?
At least 400.
We're up over Lake Michigan, celebration of the centennial for Villa Terrace, which is just up on the bluff overlooking the lake.
Yeah.
So some folks attended the fancy party there.
But then there were hundreds and hundreds of others all over the place, just along the lakefront between the marina and Bradford Beach, watching this drone show, which included like moving images, all kinds of cool stuff. There's butterflies. There were some statues that moved. There was a dragon, which is kind of cool, flying around.
Greg has put it up on the live stream this morning. Greg Pancake Hill, who produces the program.
That's from Jessica. Jessica was
WTMJ's
there.
Jessica Ty was there.
Yeah.
Yes. So she's posted some video of that. Very nice. Butterfly.
It'd be cool to see. It'd be cool to see something like
that. I thought I would see more reaction on social. Not that there wasn't any. I just thought I would get up in the morning, you
just
click Titter,
explosion.
And it's like, I was at the drone show. Like when Snoop Dogg was at the ballpark.
Yeah, just
couldn't get out of the way of it.
Yep. Dominated your timeline.
Everywhere for 2 days.
That's a good question.
7:45, we got Brewers 360 up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
The pendulum swings the other way. The shoe is on the other foot. What else can I say? It's just a good old-fashioned boat race. That's what happened Wednesday night at American Family Field. Brewers win 9-0 over the Pirates rubber mats this afternoon.
Brewers 360 is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. And on this Thursday morning, we've got Brewers Senior Vice President and General Manager Matt Arnold. Morning, Matt.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, so how about the flip-flop? I want some credit for this. I said yesterday on the air after the Brewers got beat 12-2 in a laughable game Tuesday night, I said, watch this, because I've been this fan. Pittsburgh to be disappointed tomorrow night when their team can't scrape out one run.
And
sure
didn't.
Enough.
How about it? No, it's not good for our quality of life, I can tell you that. But no, this team is resilient, man. It's neat. We don't lose a lot of games like that. You know, it feels like we've been in most games, knock on wood, throughout the season. And Murph does a great job, obviously, keeping the guys ready to go. You know, and having a game like that is a little bit of an anomaly. And I think they came out yesterday with a chip on their shoulder. And it certainly showed at the end of the day for us.
So Murphy gave away T-shirts to the team that say Undaunted on them. Are you going to wear an Undaunted T-shirt when you draft on Sunday?
sure. Yeah, I'm all about a free shirt. So, no, I'll
wherever they're handing them out.
No problem. As long as it's got a Brewers logo on it. We actually, usually for the draft, we wear a suit and tie. You know, we get pretty formal. I think we might have loosened up maybe no tie this year, getting a little more casual. But, no, we try to do at least the first day pretty formal in the draft for dress code.
I really sincerely mean this. In pro sports, as general manager, you've got the toughest job of anybody. First of all, you got, what is it, 4 picks day one? I mean, if you're in the NBA, you're done.
Right.
You have so many more to go. On top of that, you're drafting teenagers who you might not see at the big league level for 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we try to put as much art and science together to make a good decision every year. I mean, it really is tough. And I think our guys, Todd Johnson and the guys, do a great job pulling the board together. You know, I just usually poke holes and ask a lot of questions along the way, honestly. But we have a tremendous group of scouts. All of our supervisors are in town right now. So, it is a tough job. But we're trying to predict the future and, just stack the odds in our favor, honestly. And we've had some, hopefully knock on wood, we've had some pretty good results there.
So who are you picking?
Yeah. Tell us exactly your first, just your first 4 guys.
We're gonna shoot for just taking the best player on the board. Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it.
Do you have like a war room with like different scenarios? Do you have to have one of those where like, okay, if this kid falls here, this is what happens there? Like, or is it just a list 1 through 100 of the best player to the worst player?
Yeah, absolutely. No, we run through as many different iterations of the draft, you know, in advance as we can. And sometimes you get your pocket pick, but it prepares you for the real deal. And so I can't even tell you how many times you've been in the room and you literally have the folder of the player you're about to pick, and then it goes, and you got to be ready for the next one. You know, you can't just get caught without a plan, you know. So, again, our guys do a really good job preparing for that in advance as much as we possibly can.
Does money ever have to play a role? Like, really like the player, but knowing that they might ask for more money or you might have to shell out more to start for that player, would that decide on a pick?
Yeah, always. You know, sometimes there's different agents that have different expectations or a strong commitment to a school, whatever that might be, that'll pull a kid. You know, maybe there's an agreement potentially behind you that you have to try to navigate. In some cases, we'll just take the player, you know, and worry about that later. In some cases, you don't want to mess with that and just take the next player, especially if the valuation is pretty close. You know, between the two, but no, it's certainly a lot of fun and, it's high leverage for sure.
Well, best of luck in that draft as the Brewers make their way toward the All-Star break. I hope you get a day off in there somewhere, Matt.
Nah, that's overrated. Nah. No, I appreciate you guys.
All right, we'll talk to you again next week. Brewers and Pirates this afternoon from American Family Field.
I haven't had my muffin yet, Matt.
Idea Man.
Are you someone that lights off fireworks? Are you lighting wicks? Are you doing anything, or is that you're steering clear?
Innovator.
You know who enjoys the 4th of July from a business standpoint more than anybody?
And Packers Hall of Famer.
Hand surgeons.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Kohler Services.
Hey, Tausch, we have our very first, the inaugural Miss AI contest, which opened in the spring and drew entries from some 1,500 AI programmers around the world, now have a new Miss AI. They have picked a winner.
So, a couple of questions, as usual, before you continue. So, do you just plug this in? How does this even happen? Because it artificial, you know, the programmers are setting it up. Do they put in the certain things in their code, like black hair, blue eyes? Like, how is this all coming to fruition?
See, I'm seeing Total Recall on it. Remember that scene in Total Recall where Arnold's in the chair and they're like, "How do you like your co-star here in this imagination?"
Isn't that a tri-bosomed? Yeah. That was a tri-bosom, wasn't it?
Total Recall.
There was indeed a tri-bosom.
You brought it up. I didn't. You act like I'm bringing something new. Mark. There was a tri-bosom, I believe.
I don't know if one of the contestants had that, but the judges...
Well, why not? It's not real. You can have anything.
It's all artificial.
It could be Medusa. She could have snakes in her hair.
So the entrants were judged not only on looks...
We've now totally derailed Eric.
Wilson's rattled beyond belief.
The tri-bosom and the Medusa tri-bosom.
Tri-bosom has totally thrown...
It's true.
But I don't know. It is possible. I mean, that's a lot of different entries. Anyway, the entrants, Tausch and Vince, were judged not only on looks, but also on their creators' use of AI tools, as well as their social media influence. The AI contestants had to answer questions akin to real human pageants, such as, if you had one dream to make the world a better place, what would that dream be?
My hope is for world peace.
Things like that. Would have to be discussed.
Good. That's creative. That was a creative answer by Miss AI.
So this isn't fascinating to you at all.
No, it is fascinating because this is the way the world's going.
Yes.
So what I guess it's all computer voice generated, correct? There's not like a hologram, and they don't have, or they're doing, you know, if you're doing a pageant, you have the swimsuit contest, and then you have the congeniality deal. So are they just doing this via computer? Or have they gotten to the point now where it's hologrammed or robotic, where it's actual physical things or people walking, or whatever you want to call it, walking across the stage?
My feet are killing me in these heels. Keep smiling.
No, it's not physical. It's just like, I mean, we have a picture of it on the, if you're looking on the YouTube page, you can
see
the picture up.
There she is.
They're basically creating the image of what the entrance would look like. And then because of code and with ChatGPT-like tools, these AI entrants are able to communicate.
It's an entity.
Okay, thank you.
Is that what it is?
And her name is Laylee.
I mean, I have a thousand. I mean, I don't know how many more questions I could have than what's going on. But where, when, and because AI, as we all see it, everybody knows it's becoming more and more vital to businesses and everything else. How far away are we from this being like real, where they're on the stage? And I mean, not to go all robotic Will Smith, whatever that movie was, but I've seen Boston Dynamics or whatever that tech company is, where they're doing those backflips and the robots are doing that, and they're yeah. doing like crazy stuff.
Yes.
Like, we can't be that far off from having a Miss AI where there's actually a Miss AI like on a stage, and Vinny, you know, just like you do cream puff contests down at the state fair, where you guys are out there judging who's Miss AI.
I think we're closer than we think.
You mean you're like talking that. Like full on actual physical synthetic robot. Person?
I think you right. could have a Miss AI where you're looking at a computer screen talking and communicating with that AI entity.
No, but Tausch wants her in our space.
In our space.
Yeah, when is she going to be
here?
Like in the 2030? When is she going to be in studio doing a, like an in-person interview with you?
Right.
Or an entity interview.
And she has real obnoxious human handlers. We're like, she's not going to talk about that. Right? She's not.
No, she can't. You can't broach the right. world peace subject. Right. It's too controversial.
Don't ask her that. Tribosom. That's the, that's the word of the day.
The one thing we learned from this segment today was tribosom.
There she is. Miss AI.